Hi there, and welcome to Fantasy Focus Baseball. It's a beautiful Monday morning, May 3rd, 2021. He is Tristan H. Cockcroft. The H, as always, stands for happy. Kyle Soppe expertly produces and researches, and I'm merely Eric Carabel. On today's show, we'll analyze the stars of April, more unfortunate injuries, players to watch as the minor leagues begin this week, and Tristan sings. That's what we're all here for, and the hash browns as well. Tristan, please, you want to sing right off the top how happy you are? It's May.
How about if I just say, May the 4th be with you, Eve?
Yes, that's right. May 4th is actually Tuesday. We're recording on Monday.
But it's not quite a song, but at least I did the voice. Wrong movie, but, you know, it's still in the same spirit.
All right, let's get right to it. This is the first Monday of May. It's going to be a great month of baseball. April was a great month. You know, maybe the batting averages were a little bit down. But as always, you know, we have the normal players doing better than we thought, players doing worse, tons of injuries. That stinks all the time. We'll get to Luis Robert and some of the others. But your stars of April, give me a couple guys here who, you know, maybe you didn't expect them to be in the top 20 on our player rater. I mean, Byron Buxton's right there at number 5. We have the normal pitchers that we expect. How about Nick Castellanos? Never had 30 home runs in a season. He might do this before the All-Star break now.
Yeah, he doesn't shock me, but, you know, I'm a little surprised by some of the numbers we've seen from Jesus Aguilar. I'm sure we haven't had a chance to talk an awful lot about him up to this point. I am actually a little bit overwhelmed at how good Tyler Glasnow has been. You know, I mean, we questioned kind of the injury story with him. You know, the other one, because I downloaded the stats this morning, John Means in the top 10 in points leagues.
How's that possible? Like, we thought he was okay, but it's a Baltimore pitcher.
Yeah.
He's not exactly throwing 98 miles an hour. It's amazing, right? I mean,
Yeah. 170 ERA, 084 whip. I mean, impressive. And you know, like, he's got good stuff. I wrote a little bit about him in the preseason, but when we were talking about guys like this, we expected Aguilars and Means types to be at the back of your roster in an ESPN standard league, not guys who definitively should have been active in everybody's lineup in week in and week out.
So, like, the players of the week: Chris Bryant of the Cubs, Nick Castellanos, who had a 5-hit game with home runs on Sunday for the Reds. These are not young hitters anymore, like in their prime hitters, but are we looking at these guys as potential top 20 hitters? I mean, Bryant, again, Castellanos has never been at quite that level, but these are, again, I think the players of the week, at least in the National League, and I don't know who the American League player of the week will be, but like, you can generally look at our player rater and see, like, all right, Bryant number one, AJ Pollock is number two. He had 8 RBI on Sunday. He's not going to be. Tyler O'Neill, we'll get to later in the show.
Yep.
Alex Kirilloff had 4 homers this week. Any of these guys jump out to you that we need to discuss?
Yeah, Kirilloff, the homers all came during the weekend series. So that is a very encouraging sign based off the, 0 for 14, I believe it was, during his regular season first appearance in the major leagues. That's counting the doubleheader. He was up as the 27th man. So I'm liking the fact we're seeing good numbers, because the Twins do carry in a very good schedule this week. And I pointed out that the lefties in the forecaster get a big benefit. So definitely a big positive for him. I actually think Castellanos does keep this up. I mean, you mentioned top 20. I don't know that I could go quite to that level, but it's not tough to get into that tier. I think the power is legit. You know, I've kind of felt for a while that the power was legit. Bryant is a tough one. We should really dig a little bit deeper into Chris Bryant, because I've been looking a lot of the sell highs and the buy lows, and I keep instinctually going towards, it's probably time to cash in the Bryant chip. The Statcast metrics say that he's performing noticeably over his head, but even at that, if you adjust for what he should have done with those numbers, he's still putting forth a good level of production. And I haven't written it yet. I have not written the cash in the chip on Bryant. Are you cashing it in?
I'm not cashing it in. I've got him in a head-to-head weekly league. And I'm enjoying this, obviously, but I had concerns entering the season. Now, I would have taken Castellanos in drafts over Bryant. In fact, I did. Mm-hmm. And I'm not changing that right now. Castellanos has had hot streaks before. Remember, as soon as he joined the Cubs 2 years ago, he did this. So I want to see him do it over 6 months, but like, never a 30 homer season either. Like, at some point you gotta have that season. I mean, what is he already? 27, 28. I mean, he's gotta be by this point.
Yep.
So, I mean, let me look it up and make sure I don't say anything wrong, but I mean, like,
he's gotta be that age.
He's 29.
Yeah.
And you know, his best season was a 26 homer, 101 RBI season back in 2017. So I think it's about time for him to finally put up some numbers. 330 batting average is too much, but it was nice to see him hit over the weekend. Tristan, there are seven players who will enter Monday with five home runs and five stolen bases for the season, which seems like a lot to me. I can't recall at this point early in a season so much of that. But six of those seven are rostered in pretty much every league. And there's one other guy who had a combo meal this weekend, used to be a catcher. That probably gives it away.
Can't think of that when you mentioned the former catcher. I mean,
it's incredible. Like what Isaiah Kiner-Falefa of Texas is doing, because he entered this season as we looked at him as a backup catcher. Then he played gold glove defense at third, pushed out Andrews. Now he's a short. He had eight home runs in his career in 846 plate appearances.
And
he's playing a lot and he's playing well and he's showing power and he's stealing bases. Like, what if Isaiah Kiner-Falefa was a 12 to 15 home run, 20 steal guy who batted 280 and scored 75 runs? That seems feasible. Like, he might be a lot better than Dansby Swanson and a lot of these other shortstops that people are rostering.
Okay, so a little of that has to do with the definition of better, because he's not actually a better baseball player, I think, than Dansby Swanson.
Why not? He's a gold glove defender.
That's the thing.
He gets on base.
Yeah, in fairness to him, he has done a lot defensively. The strides that he has made absolutely warrant mention here, and the fact that he's been able to adapt from going to catcher to third base and then shortstop and play at a high level of defense, that's fair. But a lot of this is counting numbers. I mean, he's the major league leader in plate appearances. He's frequently been slotting in at leadoff or at least high in the order for the Rangers. I know they bounce him around a little bit there, but it is really filling the counting stats on what's a bad team. But you're right. I mean, he's getting the job done and defense fuels playing time. And if that continues like this, if he is among the guys who have a chance at 650 to 700 plate appearances, yeah, we should give him more love than we do.
All right. You wrote about one of the strugglers today, Kenta Maeda, in your column, and you're right. I mean, is there any, obviously we don't need to rehash that because people can read it. Any other strugglers that you might want to talk about today that 1 month in you were still buying? I mean, Christian Yelich, I think he's coming off the injured list this week in Philadelphia. that's a baseball team, the Phillies. Kyle Tucker is not off to a great start and he keeps going all over the place in the lineup spot. Francisco Lindor will be fine, but as we mentioned a month ago, maybe not as fine as a lot of people thought when they took him in round one. Anyone else here that just concerns you generally? I mean, Musgrove since the no-hitter, not exactly, you know, Cy Young worthy there.
Yeah.
You know, and in decent matchups too.
Yeah.
So Rodon still looks great.
Looks great, but it bothers me a little bit now that he only has the four starts and the White Sox have pushed him back, which is an obvious hint that they are concerned about workload over the course of the full year. So I'm pumping the brakes a little bit on that, but I do love his stuff and I love the adjustments that he's made. You mentioned Tucker. Tucker came up on my list of potential buy low candidates based on similar metrics to some of the guys I mentioned, that he is performing better in terms of the true value than what the rotisserie stats are telling you, but it's not to the level of the hitter that I did pick for that column. I'll let people read that. I do buy though. I am interested to see how Max Fried bounces back from this injury. He comes back on Wednesday. That's one I'm going to be watching very closely because he was awful in the first couple of starts before he got hurt. The metrics also said he wasn't a complete disaster. And I do think he still has the stuff that if he rebounds nicely and it will be on my fantasy bench, that maybe there's some value there. And I actually think people are down on him. I think you might be able to get him for a song right now in mixed leagues.
So Alex Kirilloff, nice power weekend. Yeah. Is this a 25 home run guy this season?
Yeah, why not? It's going to be tough in that ballpark, you know, with the high fence in right field. But yeah, I think he could do that. I think he's got
Isn't Alex Kirilloff better, more valuable than Miguel Sano? Dude, don't you think this ends with Kirilloff playing first base over Sano?
I'd like it to. I think he's a very good prospect, and he's a heck of a lot safer in terms of batting average and the hit tool. I like that. Well,
you're a better defender at first base. All right.
I take up a lot of space. I block the ball well. I'm like a giant wall.
Who would you rather add to your team, Kirilloff or Jesus Aguilar, who's got a great power surge this week?
Yeah, I know. And I'd love to just exploit matchups where I can week in and week out. I'll go with Kirilloff if I'm locking one in.
Okay. Because Aguilar's probably a little bit safer, but Aguilar's the most added player in ESPN Fantasy entering Monday's games. He's up to 70% rostered.
Do you think he's safer? In what way?
Well, I mean, he may not be. It's just Kirilloff's never done it before. and he's coming from the minors. And yeah, I'm not even looking at his batting average right now. It's irrelevant to me.
I feel like
Aguilar could hit 270 with 25 home runs, and I think that's almost like the ceiling for Kirilloff right now, isn't it?
I think the ceiling is higher than that, but I think the range is much wider. Kirilloff did, in his defense, I think it was an 0-for-14 start to his career, and he did have some tough outs. The batted ball metrics were actually very favorable even during an 0-for-14 stint, and yeah, it's a minuscule sample size. But I do think that he's got some safety, a very high floor for batting average. I don't think that Alex Kirilloff's bad, you know, like, I won't say worst case scenario, bad case scenario is a 220 batting average. I think it might be 250, 260. I think he's got some good ability.
What's Ozzie Albies going to hit? 30 home runs and bat 250? Because that's not what we expected.
No,
he's batting
not.
Cleanup.
Yeah.
Cleanup hitter for Atlanta.
Yeah.
68% of his hits have been extra base hits, according to Kyle. Batting average is not fine. Mm-hmm. But is he selling out for this? Is he basically saying, oh, Atlanta needs power from him, so he's going to hit for power and nothing else? Because I kind of viewed Albies as like a 280 hitter with like 25 homers, 15 steals. Now he doesn't look like that at all. He looks like Jorge Soler. That's what we expected.
Yeah.
Something very different.
Yeah, the launch angle is the highest he's had in his career. I'm trying to see if there's a big distribution shift in batted balls. Yeah, a fair amount. Yeah, 34% fly ball, 10% pop-up.
Seems like they've asked him to do something that he's not a power hitter.
But did they? That's the thing. Is it the team that asks the player to do this, or is it that the player takes it on upon himself? I don't know.
I think when you bat a guy clean up, you're telling him you want him to hit for power and not be Mark Grace. That's what a lineup can tell you. If you bat a guy leadoff, then you want him to get on base. That's the implication. You bat a guy clean up, you want him to hit for power. I mean, it's baseball. That's what it still is. I mean, some of this is ridiculous, of course, but you know, the idea is to score runs, however you do it, whether it's power, taking walks. Carlos Santana is producing a lot of runs because he's taking walks and hitting for power. Anyway, you're going to roster Albies everywhere. Kirilloff and Aguilar, maybe not. And Nico Horner looks good so far, stealing bases, middle infield eligible. Mm-hmm. The most added list has Anthony DeSclafani, who you recommended last show, I believe. Alex Wood. If you had one spot, Alex Wood or DeSclafani?
DeSclafani. Alex Wood's injury history terrifies me.
San Francisco has three of the top five most added players: Buster Posey, Wood, and DeSclafani. How about that?
Yeah,
expect that.
Posey off to a pretty decent start. We've talked about him before too.
How is Buster Posey going to hit 20 home runs a season? And when, like, the last time we saw him in 2019, he couldn't do anything. It's amazing.
Yeah, and the other that my instinct would say, bringing in the fences at that park might have influenced it, but that's something I would have expected to help a left-handed hitter. So I agree with you. It's you know, I'm still not convinced he gets to 20 home runs. Are you?
I'm not convinced of anything. I just think that he looks like he's going to hit the way he's hitting right now.
Sure.
He looks fantastic. Sure. Anyway, time for you to sing a little bit. These are the home runs and steals, the combo meals.
Hey, it's a combo meal. Combo. Combo, dee, 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 dee. It's a combo meal, home run plus steal.
All right. Friday, we had Dylan Moore and Tyler O'Neill. Tyler O'Neill's second combo meal in 3 days. Rishi wants to know if he's the real deal in ESPN Standard Leagues. If not, what size league? I added him in a rather shallow league. Tyler O'Neill, like the way he's built, it's a power guy who, I mean, he's got muscles. But I never thought of him as a big stolen base guy or batting average guy. What do you think he ends up with? I say we give him 500 plate appearances this season. Is he 260, 25, and 10?
I honestly have no idea what to expect from this guy. He is one who has great exit velocity, very underrated there. But more importantly, you mentioned he's built for power. He actually is also built for speed. His StatCast sprint speeds are in the 97th percentile. They've been each of his 4 years in the major leagues. This is a guy who, if he wanted to, I think could steal 25 bases. So I'm on board with your projection there. I actually think of him as a raw ability, good Harrison Bader.
Well, I don't even think of Bader in fantasy baseball anymore.
No, but that's because of the injury. Before that, we were expecting.
Well, I mean, because he can't hit. Can't hit right-handed pitching. He's an elite center fielder who could steal 15 bases if he could get on base enough. He had a good weekend.
O'Neill could be that kind of good, maybe not to the level of Bader. Bader's through the roof.
Well, I was going to say Dylan Carlson is his other outfielder. I mean, mm-hmm. St. Louis's outfield. We love Dylan Carlson.
Yeah.
Is Tyler O'Neill as good as Carlson right now? statistically?
I mean, they're probably comparable statistically. I don't think anybody expects that O'Neill's going to match Carlson's production. I don't. I don't think you do.
I don't. But I mean, it was a good weekend.
O'Neill is what Avisel Garcia was to me about 3 years ago, where I see the potential. He's not going to be a star, but I think he can be a very good and mixed league relevant player. He's the kind of guy that I think could be locked in at 125 or so in both of our rankings. We probably won't put him there today, though.
No. Other combo meals, Mark Canna of Oakland, who's really good. He's their leadoff hitter. He gets on base, and he's running. He's running a lot. Goodrum. Yeah, it's an interesting offense there. Nico Goodrum of Detroit, who doesn't hit for average, but he can run a little bit. Sunday, Trevor Story, who's awesome, and the aforementioned Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, who I like. I have him in a couple leagues here, and I hoped that he would steal 15 bases. That looks like he might even hit for power as well. What is next here that we need to do? All right, we'll get to the pitchers in a second. Let's get to the closer carousel, if you would be so kind.
It's the closer carousel.
I think people are disappointed what Seattle's doing. But what Seattle's doing is they're using Kendall Graveman in their highest leverage spots. And then Rafael Montero got another save. And I kind of think that's going to – I don't think Montero's good. But I think he's going to continue to get some saves. I think we cannot look at Kendall Graveman as a 30-save guy. He's like a 15-save guy. He's Nick Anderson. Isn't he like previous years Nick Anderson? It's a lot. I know you're cringing at that for run prevention purposes. But like Kendall Graveman looks that good. He's striking everybody out. And he's going to get some saves, but not a ton of saves. So is that a terrible comp?
No, it's not. That's why I'm cringing. That's not a bad comp at all. And he'll probably fall into more saves than Nick Anderson does because the overall depth of the Mariners bullpen doesn't have the array that the Rays did last season. But you're right. He's a guy who's being used only in the high leverage situations, and those don't always come in the ninth. So that might net. That might net 18, you know, like you said, sub 20, 15 to 18 saves by year's end.
Who closes for the Mets if Edwin Diaz hits the injury list today? Diaz with a back injury from turning around so fast on the Hoskins home run / double.
Yeah. And
is it Familia? I think it's, is it Juris Familia?
I guess it is. I really hate to give that answer because I don't think, I just don't think all that much of him. His control.
Should be Trevor May, who pitched the eighth inning and might have closed if they had known Diaz had told them. But if that's an injury, and it may not be an injury list inning, maybe he needs 2 days off. I don't know.
Yeah. And by the way, him with the Dante Fuentes.
He didn't get the save. Don't you have to get the save?
No, the Dante Fuentes. I'm not even supposed to be here today. Working. No, it's the closer again. And we've had a lot of this year. It's the closer working in a non-save situation. It's a mess. And then he had an injury. And, you know, the other one, too, we can get into one of the other injuries that happened with this one. I'm getting tired of pitchers who are coming into games showing diminished stuff and then leaving because of an injury, and clearly that explains why they were pitching poorly. It's frustrating, and it raises a significant concern with him. I do immediately think injured list and bench him. Don't you?
I do. You know, I wish the Phillies would DL Hector Neris. Tired of watching him. But, you know, what are you going to do? Other closer situations, Kansas City. It's Josh Staumont, you think? I don't think he had a weekend save. I don't think anybody on that team
did. But he had each of the previous three, and they had Greg Holland available for all three of those. So
Daniel Bard blew up. Who's next in line for Colorado if they have to move to someone? Is it Michael Givens?
It's find a pitcher on another team. But yeah, it's Givens if you must from that. That.
Lucas Sims looks terrible. I know people I've said that in the past, and people were like, oh, he's fine. It was raining that day. No, he's not closing. Who is it? Is it Antone got lit yesterday too? Garrett has emotional issues. Sean Doolittle has flyball issues. Who is Cincinnati's closer right now?
It's in 6 weeks we'll be having the same conversation probably. It should be Antone on raw skills, but that's another Graveman situation with why lock him into a one inning save spot when you're not using him in your high leverage instances. And I think they're just going to go mix and match until they find a guy who catches fire.
And right when I wrote about Alex Reyes walking everybody, he stopped walking everybody. So if you need a pitcher that you want to fix, just let me know. I'll write about him for Tuesday. Stephen Crichton, by the way, looks like Arizona's closer. I picked him up. I think he might keep that role. All right, I've been putting this off. We've got to talk about some of these injuries. Yep. Luis Robert. I guess it, when it comes down to it, it's do you hold or do you move on in an ESPN standard league? I mean, that's what we should be pointing out. It's a points league is our standard. Roto, we should talk about too. But Luis Robert is a potential 25 homer, 25 steal guy. Can't do it with a strained hip. But I think this injury may take him out for May. You've got to keep him rostered, right?
Yeah, and I mean, he'll become injured list eligible, so you can put him in those spots. I do think he has the ability to warrant one of them. Yeah.
You know, I shouldn't say this, but, well, then I shouldn't say it. But, like, there's no day games on Monday today.
Yeah.
And we're still, it's the morning where we're recording this show or attempting to. That actually helps for weekly roster purposes, right? A lot. Because
it absolutely does.
The White Sox,
first Monday we've had this.
Right. I mean, I love day games, but at least now Robert goes on the injury list after, you know, like before they play, before lineup lock. Same with the Mets, Diaz.
Yeah.
Most of the time.
But
that's
the problem. They're not playing. White Sox have the schedule nightmare this week. They play the five games. They don't even play on Monday. So we've got the two games in Cincinnati. They lose the DH and everything. I love that I see the schedule and 20 of the 30 teams play Monday. So I'm with you that that's structured best for fantasy. But even then, there's little cracks. And we might not get that IL move on Robert until tomorrow, which is maddening to me.
But keep him rostered. Hopefully he plays in 3 or 4 weeks. Dustin May of the Dodgers, that looked worse. Tingling in the hand. And you have to assume that that's going to be a long term. Like, if you have to roster, if you have to use your injury list spot for one guy, you'd be Robert over May. Yeah. Do you drop May right now? Because we weren't looking at him as a surefire top 40 starting pitcher anyway. So, like, if you, like, I'm looking at the most added drop list for pitchers and I mean, would you really pick up Di Sclafani or Alex Wood and drop Dustin May today? I mean, I hate to even think that, but if May's going to miss at least a month, and I don't view this May situation as I do Dinelson Lamet, who keeps hitting the injury list and coming back way too soon. Right? I mean, don't you have to think about cutting May if you need the roster spot?
Yeah. The bothersome part about that injury, and you saw the entire fantasy community talking positively about this, hoping for the best, tells you how much people like him. You know, I love him. I want to put him in my top 40. Couldn't make the case until he got the velocity bump in that last outing. And then here he goes with a pitch where he was down to 94. That's a precipitous drop. And then he has a tingling sensation. I am really afraid that this is a worst case scenario thing. So we probably aren't far away from cutting him for one of those guys.
Travis d'Arnaud, drop him in all leagues. He's on the 60-day injury list. That's a bad sign with the thumb injury. He may not play again this season. Posey and Carson Kelly are rostered in most leagues at this point. So Kyle Higashioka of your Yankees, Dom Nunez of the Rockies, or Dalton Varsho. Pick one.
I probably would go to Varsho because of the speed we've talked about previously. Probably the playing time's not there.
Do you drop Gary Sanchez in an ESPN standard?
No.
Why? Why wouldn't you?
What are you replacing him with? I mean, yeah, you said Carson Kelly. I think
how about what the Yankees are replacing him with? I mean, like, I honestly, the Yankees aren't replacing him.
I've already had this discussion with a couple of people. The Yankees aren't replacing him. You can't just let a guy like Gary Sanchez go and put Higashioka in there. Then who's your backup catcher?
So you think that the Yankees will go back to Sanchez as a primary catcher?
I think they might drop into a 50-50 timeshare where they put Higashioka in the important games with the starters they need to have the personal
catcher. You wouldn't roster Buster Posey over Gary Sanchez right now?
I don't think that's the position that people are in. I think guys like Kelly and Posey are gone in the competitive leagues where you need to move on from Sanchez.
So Sean Murphy is rostered in 37%. Would you not add him and cut Sanchez?
I would think about that. Yeah,
I would do that.
Yeah, yeah. This is the thing. You and I, our minds go to 25 to 40 catchers are already rostered, so we're in a no-win situation there. And when I lost d'Arnaud in a key league, there's nobody out there for me to replace him with. If you had Omar Narváez in Milwaukee, where they've lost both their catchers as well, you're in really a no-win situation. But you're right. If you're looking at players in that 11 to 20 at catcher, which is where Murphy is, by all means.
Jesus Luzardo broke a finger playing video games, or more accurately, hitting a table. Playing video games is a dangerous sport, man. I don't know why you're laughing.
You really
get injured playing video games.
My son just loses his temper over video games. I know it.
I can't imagine that happening in your house. And so I don't think this is a long-term injury with the fractured finger. He pitched that day after hurting himself. He pitched poorly. But Lizardo, a little bit of a disappointment. If you have to roster one between Lizardo and Dustin May now, both in the injury list, you would roster Lizardo. But what are your expectations here? Is Lizardo still a top 50 starting pitcher? Because he hasn't looked like it.
Yeah, he definitely is not, and the metrics aren't supporting him being up there. And I wrote about him several weeks ago that I would be patient. At this point, my opinion has shifted.
All right, so you're no longer patient. All right, what else do we have to do? Before I forget, I wanted to ask you this. I teased it earlier on. The minor leagues start this week, and I can't wait. So we've talked a lot about like the obvious guys to watch, Wander Franco, Jared Kelnick, Mackenzie Gore. Anyone else you're watching? Anyone else that's important to you? Like, if they play well in May, maybe we'll see them in the major leagues and talk. I mean, like, there's that Royals kid who you wrote about on Monday who's making his debut, Daniel Lynch, and he should be good. But the Tampa kid who came up throwing 100 last week, you can't roster all these guys. So, and his name escapes me, but you know who I'm talking about.
Shane McClanahan.
Would you roster Lynch or McClanahan right now in ESPN Fantasy? Who do you trust this week?
Yeah, I think McClanahan's stuff is better than Lynch's is, but I'm going to roster Lynch because I think the Royals are more apt to give him opportunity. They also have the ballpark factor going on, and I love the matchups this week. Two starts, gets the Cleveland one in that first game, and I think the White Sox one is kind of middling right now. Lean that direction.
And
minor leagues thing, for me personally, I want to watch where the Yankee prospects are. I mean, it piqued my interest that Luke Voit is going to be playing his rehab game in Double-A Somerset, which is right down the street from me, pretty much. And I want to see Jason Dominguez, Yankees top prospect. So he was at low A ball. So, but that's not a fantasy relevant thing.
I think Austin Martin of Toronto, if he hits really well the first month or so, Toronto is in for now.
Mm-hmm.
And if Biggio keeps throwing balls away at third base, they'll go to Austin Martin. I believe that.
Hmm.
So that to me is very interesting. I mean, I keep saying Wander Franco is going to debut at third base. Well, if Willy Adames keeps hitting 150, he'll debut a short.
Yeah.
But Austin Martin, he's on the fast track. The Vanderbilt kid, Toronto could promote him quickly. So watch that. I think Bobby Witt is interesting
because
no Mondesi at short, and Bobby Witt can play short or second. So that's something to watch. And Logan Gilbert of Seattle, I want to see what he does in his first three or four starts because maybe Seattle thinks it can contend for a wild card spot or the division. So. And Logan Gilbert is a right-hander, I believe.
Where did they sign him?
I don't know where they put. I think it was AAA.
Because they put Kelnick at AAA, which I loved seeing that.
Gilbert, I think, was assigned to AAA. He's 23 already, and he's already pitched in AA. So yeah, I don't know why he would go to AA again. He's got to be AAA, but he's really good and big kid, 6'6". Anyway, to me, Logan Gilbert is very interesting for fantasy. That's something to watch.
He was officially confirmed.
So anyway, something to watch there. I'm sure we'll be talking about other minor leaguers in future shows. Let's get to some of the pitching to watch this week. Monday, no day games, as we mentioned. ESPN Plus has the Mets and the Cardinals. Adam Wainwright's supposed to come back. It's a two-star week for Wainwright, and I do think he's a bit of a buy-low option. Do you agree with that?
I do agree with that, and they are Mets and the Rockies at home. The Rockies is the start that drives this one. I would put him in there even on the hopes that, worst case, he gets pushed back a couple days, pulls that one Rocky start that's favorable.
Would you activate in a weekly league either or Christian Yelich or Lorenzo Cain? They're supposed to be active, but they're saying that he'll be active for the series in Philadelphia, but that could be Thursday, too, so who knows?
Yeah, and I mean, that's the problem is we don't know which date it is. I don't think Lorenzo Cain's true value is high enough on that tier to warrant activating him. I probably would lean towards a no on Yelich, too. Or, I mean, for you and I, it's a little more difficult. The replacement is much lower, but I'm a no. Especially in a mixed league, I'm a no.
By the way, I'm not watching every Phillies game exclusively like I used to. Now I'm watching a lot of other games, partly because the Phillies are so infuriating. I want to see Texas-Minnesota. Dane Dunning, Kenta Maeda. Again, we've mentioned Maeda by low. Dane Dunning, I don't know what to do with him. Facing a tough lineup. Last outing went poorly. Before that, looked good. I don't know. I want to see Daniel Lynch today, obviously. That's interesting to me. Giants hitters at Coors Field. I've got Mike Tauchman. I added in a couple of places. So
yeah, that's a good add, by the way. That's not the best overall weekly schedule because San Francisco, I think, don't they have San Diego during the weekend? Yeah, they have San Diego back at home, but I'm still piqued. It's piqued my interest here. There's plenty of value out there on the free agent list for them during the Coors series.
On Tuesday night, ESPN has Zach Greinke and Domingo Germán. You're the Yankee guy. What do you think of Germán? For statistic purposes.
Let's make
this all clear, okay?
Yeah.
Keep our jobs. Germán, for statistical purposes this year, give me his numbers.
I actually think he finishes in the range of a 4 ERA with a 1-2 something, probably mid to high 1-2s whip, which sounds ugly, but that's kind of a back-end mixed pitcher. I would dodge these starts if I could. It's Houston and Washington at home for his two-start week. I'm okay with him here, but not wowed.
Rest of the season, you have one roster spot, Germán or Nick Pivetta, who also pitches Tuesday.
Oh, boy. I probably would take Germán. I think at the end of the year, Germán gives you more volume of usable starts.
Or Kwang Hyung Kim, who's pitched pretty well for St. Louis. Doesn't go deep into games, doesn't pile on the strikeouts, but he does look good. I have to admit that. I was not on board, but he does look good.
Yeah, he's been a perfectly serviceable pitcher. He's got the ballpark factor working for him, two home starts. I'd probably put him at the top of that list.
And I dumped him for a draft pick in a keeper dynasty sim league, and now I'm wondering if I should have done that. McClanahan pitches on Tuesday at the Angels. Angels lineup, man. Ohtani, Trout, Rendon. That's a sick lineup. What about Cole Irvin, the former Philly? He was bad for the Phillies, but now, of course, he's good in Oakland. Two-start week. First one's Toronto, though. That can't be good.
First is Toronto. Second is Tampa. Typically, Tampa grades on paper is a good matchup, but they play better than the numbers. Both home starts.
I say no. He's still a soft tossing lefty.
That's kind of the way I lean too. I mean, it's if you need volume, go for it, especially in a points league. But I'm not wowed.
Wednesday, very early day game. Please prepare ahead. ESPN at night has Trevor Bauer and Jake Arrieta. We told you to avoid Jake Arrieta. You didn't listen. You know, and this week is only going to get worse against the Dodgers. John Means and Yusei Kikuchi. We don't talk about Kikuchi a whole lot.
Yeah,
a harder throwing lefty now.
Yeah,
but he's pitched well. Kikuchi versus Means rest of the season. I think who would you take?
I'd take Means, but I like this discussion because the two of them are intriguing. I've seen signs, and they might actually compare more favorably to some of the names we've just been talking about, the Germáns and Pivettas. I think there's a top, maybe there's a top 50 path for Kikuchi, don't you think?
I think there is a path. I'm not there yet. What about Kikuchi versus Robbie Ray of Toronto? If he doesn't walk people, he's legit. He's a strikeout guy.
Yeah.
He's at Oakland. Pretty decent spot.
Yeah, and it's a big contrast compared to the first start he made after he came off the IL. But in his defense, he was great during spring training. The metrics supported the fact that I believe he lost weight, worked with his pitching coach during the preseason, made some tweaks to his delivery, and he's changed the pitch selection. So I'm going to lean on these past two starts. I'm going to say that Robbie Ray looks like he's fixed what's been behind him. He might be a top 40 starter again. He might.
Yeah, I am not remotely ranking him that way yet, but I do see a pathway. Like if you say to me Kikuchi versus Robbie Ray, I think it's more likely that Robbie Ray gets to the top 40 because of the strikeouts. Kikuchi's probably not a strikeout per inning guy for the season. Robbie Ray is. I mean, Robbie Ray had 230 strikeouts in a season, didn't he?
Very well said. I think on the high end, it's definitively better than Kikuchi's, but Robbie Ray, at any turn, it could blow up in your face.
Oh, absolutely, with the walks. I mean, just very scary.
Kikuchi's become much safer. I think that's the defense to be made.
Do we need to have another discussion on Madison Bumgarner? Last three starts, two earned over 17 innings. Or who do you need to see more of to get it back in? Bumgarner or Corey Kluber, who I was clearly wrong about?
I'm not sure about that. We should dive into the Kluber thing here. But Bumgarner, it's still very schedule and matchups driven what he is doing, but he did recapture some of the velocity. The velocity is closer to where it was in 2016, 2017 now. So maybe this is legit, but for now I'm riding it because of the schedule. Kluber, you're buying in on this is.
No, but it was Detroit.
The thing. Detroit is not, it's not a good matchup. It is by far the best matchup for a righty.
So you watched it. Is Kluber a top 50 starting pitcher? No, I think he draws you in based on that 10 strikeouts against the Tigers. Next three outings could be Nationals, Orioles, Rangers.
That's a good schedule.
It's a very good schedule there. Uh-huh. Still no Soto for the Nationals. Orioles and Rangers don't hit. So Corey Kluber all of a sudden is back to being a top 50 starter after I said, forget him.
He like, I want to put him there with confidence. I am concerned. He is not the Corey Kluber of old. In this game, he went heavy changeup. That is Corey Kluber of about 5-6 years ago, and the velocity's not quite to the level that it was. It was a big velocity range between the two pitches, so this is a guy who's trying to beat you with finesse. That's the only reason I'm hesitant here to buy into the strikeouts from that outing.
All right, moving along here, we're having some connection problems with our friend Kyle, so we're going to ditch trivia today and go right to hash browns, and I will read them. Chip writes, is DeSclafani a juice the orange situation, or is the improved ground ball rate an indicator of sustainable growth? Any Giants starting pitcher, because of the home games, you have to look at. But is he more than a streamer? Now, with Alex Wood, it's injuries. It's durability.
Is he more than a streamer?
Or what's that from Saturday Night? More than a streamer.
More than a streamer. More than a streamer to me.
Wow. He's singing. That's fantastic. God. I love that one. That should be part of every show now. More than a streamer.
I might say that on this. And it's not just because I've had the excitement of the song. Maybe, you know what? It's the Giants fixed, air quote, fixed Kevin Gausman last year. It's on a lower tier for me, but maybe they fixed DeSclafani too.
Isn't that amazing? Who I liked early on with the Reds when he wasn't giving up so many home runs, I think. Mm-hmm. But now, I mean, and I got to see, I mean, it's so early still.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you look at home versus road with DeSclafani and you say, well, I'm not going to trust him in road games. But, I mean, he threw a shutout. Well, that was home against Colorado. He beat San Diego in his last outing. And it was just one bad inning and a home run.
Yep.
I mean, it was three hits over six. So that's interesting. At Philly, he went only four innings, but there, I think there was something strange about that. Oh, yeah, that's right. It's the Phillies. Anyway, he's pitched well at San Diego twice.
So yeah. And he gets San Diego at home in the next start. So, you know, we'll see. Can he repeat it here? And, you know, you and I talk a lot about the repeat efforts against familiar foes and the pitcher gets the advantage. So if he steps up in that game, we'll get close to locking in DeSclafani. I feel a little like he belongs in the Bumgarner class, but I feel like I'd rather ride long term if I have to make the commitment with him.
I've been streaming a lot and I wonder if DeSclafani has passed that point. And like, I still want no part of Nick Pivetta. I want no part of Kyle Gibson. I still want no part of Kluber. I understand what happened on Sunday.
You don't want Kyle Gibson. I'm a little surprised that you're not buying in more.
Why are you buying in? Ground ball guy? Now you think he's striking people out? Like, what are you seeing that I'm not seeing?
Yeah, it's, well, he's
going to win.
He's made a couple of adjustments.
What has he done?
Not the significant ones. I've got to dig up.
That's five outings have been great. Five quality starts in a row for Kyle Gibson. My goodness.
Yeah. I've got to dig up exactly what his word.
Walker. I mean, he's not going to go through the entire season without giving up nary a home run. I mean,
This is the cutter heavy guy. So he shifted off. Which was it? Shifted a little off the changeup and went a little heavier on the cutter. I want pitchers who made a tangible change.
All right. Well, I mean, and it's not BABIP, so he is legit, like statistically so far. But I would still take DeSclafani over Gibson. All right, next question here, Carter. Do you think the extra inning rules have actually helped closers? A lot of games ending in 10 innings and getting my relievers wins. Well, they're also getting your relievers losses, Carter, like Kimbrel yesterday, who comes in, gives up a single, and it's over. The 10-inning rule, which is just awful. But how is that affecting closers to you?
Yeah, I'm not seeing the effect that's being discussed here because that would happen anyway. I mean, I think managers are using the closer slightly more differently than they were before, but you're also exchanging it for bring your closer in the 10th inning. It's very easy to absorb a blown save. So for me in my points leagues, I lose points for a blown save. I hate the rule in that league for this reason. That's the only thing that I've seen a major shift for.
I mean, if you start a 10th inning with the runner on second base, I mean, Hector Neris is giving up the run. But they may score two in the bottom and have to get him to win. Like, he's giving up the run. Craig Kimbrel is giving up a run if you start with a guy on second base.
He's Josh Hader might give up the runner. You don't need to get a hit to score that runner.
Right. You bunt him over, sack fly, you win the game. Like, it's awful. But for how we evaluate closers or relief pitchers in fantasy, I don't think this has affected my thinking. I think that's what Carter's question is.
Right. It's not changing anything substantially for me either. I mean, except in that league, that one instance I said where the blown save is it's a pretty harsh penalty in our league.
Dylan wants a name game for Jared Walsh. I think Jared Walsh is a 30, and I think I've said this on previous shows, is a 260 hitter with 30 home runs. And maybe you scoffed at it, but he looks great. And he's now playing right field regularly, so they can get pulls in there. If you ask me Walsh versus Jesus Aguilar, it's Walsh. If you ask me Walsh versus CJ Cron, it's Walsh.
Not sure I'm there with you on that, but that's close. Do you like Cron in course?
I don't think he's good, and I think Walsh is. And I think Cron could end up with 30 homers and 260, but I think Walsh is more likely. And in rostership in ESPN leagues, Walsh is at 93%. Crone's at only 61%. So they maybe, I think they're right about it at this point. I know I rank Walsh ahead of Cron.
A Rockies comp is tough for me anyway, because if you could assign me all the Coors games, I'd feel so much better about those. But it's the road ones that...
I mean, people are dropping Dom Smith. Huge mistake. Dom Smith's still a top 100 guy. If you want to drop Votto for Walsh, okay. Definitely for that.
Yep.
If you want to, what about Keston Hiura? He's the third most dropped first baseman. How about that?
Yeah, he's had a bad year.
Would you really drop him after 1 month? We know what he can do.
It's not just a bad month. He had a bad 2020.
So you are dropping Keston Hiura.
I'm trying to be as patient as I possibly can, but I am getting fed.
Jared Walsh is sitting out there in your league. Are you really not picking up Walsh and dropping Hiura?
Those are closer. I mean, you made the case that, and I've moved Walsh up substantially in my ratings as well. I was worried about the playing time. That's not really a question now. Walsh probably belongs in the low end at 130.
I mean, overall. We had an argument where I comped him to Matt Olson, which you thought was utterly ridiculous. It doesn't look as ridiculous today, does it?
It's not outrageous, but I still think there Olson is noticeably better.
Okay.
I see your point. I see your point.
Five card rights. Another gem from Danny Duffy. I mean, at what point are we going to say he's legit?
Yeah.
I mean, what are we holding out for? I mean,
put it this way. What is the flat number of starts that you begin to take a pitcher seriously? Get the number of starts into the year you take a guy really seriously. This is the calculation question.
It's different. Like
it has to be a broad question. They ask us this in a vacuum. I'm asking you it in a vacuum. You got to give me your number.
Danny Duffy has not given up more than one run in any of his starts, but neither has Kyle Gibson. But I don't think I view either of them as a guy who's going to keep his ERA under 4. I know that sounds ridiculous, but I still don't view it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Be careful here. I'm not saying this is Jake Arrieta.
Right.
But it's not Nick Pivetta either. I mean, I trust Duffy a little bit more. He's been around a really long time. I mean, he's 32. But again, he's not getting through a season with with only 2 home runs allowed. They're going to give up homers.
Oh, without a doubt. You want to look at the luck metrics going on here. 6.1% homer to fly ball rate. It's 4% below the career number. He has a 247 BABIP. His career number in that is 292. He's got a 95.4 left on base percentage. It's a 75.2 for his career.
At last.
His velocity's up. I will absolutely defend him. His velocity is noticeably up.
All right. Well, that's interesting. I mean, if you ask me on the trust factor here, I trust Duffy over DeSclafani. But there's going to be some stuff happening soon with Danny Duffy this month. Just be careful here.
Okay, you know what? I will get on board with you with that. I think we should be putting Duffy ahead of... Yeah, I think you're right.
Okay. All right, what else do we need to do? I don't know if there's anything else. I think this has been a show for the ages, and maybe we need to just end it now before anything else happens.
right? Mercy! I mean, mercy!
you can always... We appreciate everybody who listens to our show, Fantasy Focus Baseball. We do it twice a week on Monday and Thursday morning. We do appreciate that. And you should listen to Buster's Today, Baseball Today show as well. They have our buddy Schoenfeld on from time to time, and lots of great guests. They do a great job there. And of course, Fantasy Focus Football.
Yep.
I hear there was a draft this past weekend.
Yes.
Not like where the wind blows into your windows. It was a fun draft. I'm sure they're recapping it all on Monday.
Anyway, the wind blows.
And that's how we'll end it. For Tristan, for Kyle, I am Eric. Have an awesome week. We'll be back with you there on Thursday.